It is time for the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you, Kelly. And hello, Eric.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Eric's with us. He didn't have his microphone around. He had to grab it.
Caught me off guard.
Eric was not expecting to be addressed. It's not in his contract for anyone to have to say hello to him. He likes to be left alone.
I'll be ready next week.
Okay, we all heard that. We're all witnesses to it. So Nancy,
that's funny.
I thought this question was interesting because I was talking with Eric about it earlier. The Biblical Worldview Question of the Week is, does Jesus understand me? And when I saw that, when you sent that to us, an email, I thought, well, of course he understands me. He made me. But then I thought, wait a minute. You know, he's holy, and I struggle to be holy because I'm just a mess. How can he even really begin to understand those darker parts of who I am? Because that's not at all who he is. So does Jesus understand us?
Yeah, and you know, this question resonates with teenagers, by the way, in a big way, because this idea, most teenagers struggle with identity, and most of them don't believe, really, that anyone understands them, mainly because they don't communicate like teenagers used to. And, you know, they're getting answers through the internet or whatever. But I think it's a great question because it brings up the idea, do we worship a sovereign, yes, but a personal God? Is God truly personal? Does he care? And, you know, at times that we all experience when friends, especially around holidays, friends or family that frustrate us or hurt our feelings or make us angry or whatever. Oftentimes the fallout of that is loneliness or sadness because really, especially for teens, they don't think anybody really understands them. And that happens with us too as adults. But the good news here, understanding the very nature of God, we know that God does hear and that he understands. He knows our hurts, our frustration, all matter to him, which is absolutely astounding. The God of the universe, with all he has to do, that he would care for us. Every single thought he takes in that we have. It's absolutely mind-blowing, especially, when we consider that Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, his Son, is also 100% human. And this is the thing that I'm astounded with God, and I love this question because looking into it, it's amazing how this question can be answered. He suffered. He was frustrated in Jesus's life. He was rejected. He was mocked. He was lied about. He had enemies who were out to get him. And the thing is, with the sovereignty of God who knows all things, it didn't have to be this way. It just didn't. Max Lucado, in an email that he sent out a few weeks ago, he hit on this topic, and I want to read just this paragraph that he wrote because I think he puts it as he writes so well. He said, "Why did Jesus grow weary in Samaria, disturbed in Nazareth, angry in the temple? Why was he sleepy in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, sad at the tomb of Lazarus, and hungry in the wilderness? Why did Jesus endure all these feelings?" And then Max says this, "Because he knew you'd feel them too. He knew you'd be weary, disturbed, and angry. He knew you'd be sleepy and grief-stricken and hungry. He knew you'd face pain, if not the pain of the body, the pain of the soul, pain too sharp for any drug. He knew you'd face thirst, if not thirsty for water, at least a thirst for truth. In the truth we gleam from the image of a thirsty Christ is he understands. And he understands because of that, we can come to him. Wow. So here is the Almighty God saying, come to me. I think this Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like we are, but yet without sin. This is a double negative here in this verse, mm-hmm. but essentially what it's saying is we have a God that feels our infirmities. And scripture shouts that God is a personal, compassionate God. And we need to, it's healthy for us to remember this and get into the scriptures and say we're not alone. We're never, ever alone.
Let's pick apart the be touched with part of that scripture. What does that mean in regard to Jesus truly understanding us?
Yes, this idea of that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that touched Jesus, the Son of God, in all his humanity, faced temptation, frustration, and anger that we face. Jesus loves and cares for us on a level that passes human understanding. And this phrase, be touched with, comes from the Greek word sympathiko, which means sharing an experience with somebody or sympathizing with and having compassion for somebody. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, sympathizes with every temptation, every feeling, every struggle, everything about us that we experience, God sympathizes with that. Essentially, without sin, however, God says, I've been there. And Psalm 8:4, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man, that you care for him. And this is the question, not does God really care? It's God, why do you care for us? We're messes. As Kelly says, we are hot messes. You know, and God says, because I love, because I'm sovereign, because I do all things and I'm personal. In Matthew 10:19-21, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable. Are you not more valuable than the sparrows? And God, again, in his bigness and his sovereignty, knows, and it knows the number of hairs on your head. He cares. And if there's anyone who can understand what you're going through, it's Jesus. And he says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And there's the invitation God gives us right there. You're not alone. Humans might not understand you, for sure, but God does.
This is all so remarkable to me, which, by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. It's Teaching Tuesday, and we're going through our biblical worldview question of the week, which is, does Jesus understand me? And Nancy, you know, first of all, the quote that you read from Max Lucado about why Jesus endured such difficult human feelings being because he knew that we would be dealing with those too. That, first of all, absolutely. I mean, that goes right through my heart in the best of all possible ways. But wow, what a profound thought. And then the word tells us we are to be forgiving and patient people, but we can get frustrated with each other. We get angry too. Holidays are coming up. We're all going to be together. And for some families, that is going to be a tough situation. So talk about how Jesus in his divinity really does understand the lowliness of those feelings. Because, you know what, when I think about this and I try to pick it apart in my mind, I get that he experienced them too. So yes, he does understand them. He created me. So yeah, he does understand me, but he is divine. He has a perfectly divine nature that is now coming down to the lowliness of where I am. And that to me is just mind-boggling.
Yes, me too. And we have good friends that have died, you know, through COVID or just natural death or whatever, you know, in the sadness that overcomes us. And scripture, even in those moments with God himself, in human form, I think of the love he had for his friend Lazarus. And he wept when he saw Mary and Martha weeping and wept with them. And that is how personal our God is. And he also experienced frustration on multiple levels, especially when it came to his disciples. He was with them 3.5 years. And he asked one thing of his disciples the last night they were together in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they didn't do it. Listen to this from Mark 14. Sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to become deeply distressed and troubled. Does that sound like us or what? Deeply distressed and troubled. And Jesus said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed. If possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he returned, he found again them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They didn't know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. You know, there's so much in this little piece, but he asked them one simple thing and they didn't do it because he wanted them to be ready to fight the battle that was about to begin, and they slept. And these are the ones that left, mm-hmm. that left him outside of John. They weren't prepared. It is absolutely amazing to see the one time God himself asked them to do, just stay awake, and they didn't. They didn't do it. Can you imagine his sorrow, his frustration, his feeling of betrayal? You know, it is overwhelming. And then we see as we get tempted daily by Satan. Satan again attacked Jesus in every way to get him to deny that Jesus was God, to lose his faith in God, and to deny himself his position of the Son of God. But again, he was tempted, but yet he understands. And he understands what it means to be tempted. And he will give us the power to overcome all of our temptations when we stay awake, when we pray, when we lean on him. And this whole piece in here about Jesus and his frustration and his sorrow and his that feeling of betrayal and that feeling of loneliness is so profound in the scriptures so that we can see and we can understand this is the God, the holy personal God that we worship is listening. He's begging you to come to him, come to me. I understand. I've been where you are.
Well, we now understand that Jesus understands us, but what else can we take away from his experiences with human emotions?
Yeah, I think we touched on it a minute ago, but not only did Jesus experience all of these emotions, but unlike all of us, he never sinned in his response to his frustration. He never became bitter, resentful, unforgiving. He was always patient and ready to extend forgiveness and grace. And I look at that and I just have to laugh at myself. I'm so not like that. But again, because of the Holy Spirit in us, we can extend grace and we can be kind. We can be patient when we lean on God in these situations. And I think the epitome of God in his true nature, even as he hung on the cross, his skin was ripped from his body. He had just enough blood left in him to hang on that cross for us. And even with all of that, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus, I mean, Jesus is on our side. And when we go to him for help, he will extend mercy and grace to all of us in our time of need. He is, the door's open to him. And all we have to do is go through that door, call out to him. You know, that's the thing. God doesn't turn our back on us. Even when we feel lonely and empty, he mm-hmm. is there with us. And just to go to him and receive comfort and grace. Because in so many of our situations that are too difficult to do alone, he's saying, I'm going to carry you. I'm not going to walk with you. I'm going to carry you through mm-hmm. this. And he does. And, you know, through him, we can live our lives free of guilt, with encouragement, with hope in the worst of times. And, you know, we just simply need to be prepared for those people that we meet on the journey. You know, people are hurting, and hurting people say really just hurtful things. You know, people with very low self-esteem love to hurt others, mm-hmm. and it just is the way it is. And God understands that. And he's saying, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. People with low self-esteem will shout out lies. And you need to extend grace. When we begin to see people who hurt us as people who are suffering themselves, it seems to me to be easier to extend grace. In Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne with grace and confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I only add to that saying, when we receive the grace and mercy, then we too can extend that to those people, even those people who are set to hurt us. We extend grace and mercy because we see through them hurt and pain, and God sees that in us and extends grace and mercy. What an awesome God we have.
We really do.
That meets us. It's amazing. It's just overwhelming to me. How really is.
Mm-hmm. I know. And when we extend grace and mercy toward people that are hurting us, it's not always an easy thing to do because we get so caught up in our flesh, but not doing it is what the enemy would have us to do. But when we do it, what amazes me is how quickly it disarms the part of them that wants to lash out through their own pain. It changes everything and opens a door to healing for them also. It is so mysterious and amazing to me the way God works. I never get tired of talking about this. This has been a great question today, Nancy.
Well, it's meant a lot to me, and I just think we just forget. Satan screams loud and tries to out-scream, distract us mm-hmm. from who we really are.
Right.
We need to get into scriptures and understand God adores every one of us as bad as we are. He adores us and is crying for us to come to him because it hurts him when we're suffering.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing that he suffered in all this so that we could see that he too, in his godliness, was human. And he suffered. And so therefore we can suffer. It's almost, Kelly, we've talked about it before. It's almost like being like Jesus and being able to suffer well, meaning he was hurt and frustrated, mm-hmm. but yet he could see through it and realize these people need grace.
Oh, yeah.
And they need mercy.
Yeah.
And so often I, in particular, don't go there. I'm just ticked off with them and frustrated and can get dismissive, just saying, okay, mm-hmm. this is just ridiculous yeah. behavior, you know, mm-hmm. instead of just saying, I'm extending you grace.
Yeah.
I don't announce it, but, you know, really act on it in my spirit because they're hurting. They're yeah. hurting.
When you stop and think about the fact that even because the word tells us that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, mm. God created us. He knew the messes we were going to get in, yet he yeah. still did it. He still ordained that his son would suffer this way for our sakes. That is a love I can't begin to even wrap my mind around. And I hope, Nancy, when we're in heaven, that I can fully understand it. For now, I'm doing my best with it because this is where I wrestle with the enemy, and he doesn't want me to believe that a love like that exists because we fail each other, but we're not God. He is yeah. so far above us. But hey, we've got to scoot because we got to check in with Randy, but I want to let all of you know that if you want to hear this interview again with Nancy discussing the biblical worldview question of the week, give us about an hour or two or you know, whatever. Just check it later today. Go to Mornings with Kelly and Steve. That's kellyandsteve.org. And look on the resources tab. You'll get all the information you need about the ministry of Anchors Away, which is at anchorsaway.org. But you can connect through us too. And that interview audio will be posted there as well. And want to let you know that if you're interested, I would love for you to go there and click on this. If you're interested, you can receive worldview and leadership training there and find out how to help your young people in your life, high school, college age, learn how to stand on a solid foundation of their faith so they don't wander away from it when they age out of their youth groups and when they take off for college. Because you guys, it happens, and we want to avoid that. Mm-hmm. So, Nancy, thanks for mm-hmm. everything that you do for us. We love you.
Love you guys, too, and thank you for what you're doing.